There's a really sensitive period during any sales cycle, and it's the time between meetings. Now, if you follow up too much, you might appear desperate or worse yet, annoying. But if you follow up too little, and guess what? You lose control of the deal. And just to make it interesting, as if that weren't enough, how do you follow up? And how do you bring value to each one of those follow-ups so it's not calling to follow up or calling to check in? Today, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay. So let me give you a little bit of context before we begin, and this way we're all learning from the same place and the same perspective. So you've had your preliminary meeting with a prospect. Now, whether you call it a needs analysis or a discovery call, you've just completed it. So how do you create a solid follow-up cadence? Now, I want to start with the why. As in, why would we even think about this before we get to that place? Because every deal is going to be different, right? So why would we even think about this in advance? And the answer to that is because the quality of your communication is going to dramatically improve and you're going to stand out. Now, why are you going to stand out? Because the average sales rep pretty much waits until that little alert goes off in the CRM, and in that split second when they reach for a phone or the keyboard, a decision is made. They're deciding what to say. So I want you to imagine how much better your interactions are going to be if you actually give it some thought. So that's the first thing that I want you to buy into, this idea of thinking about this in advance. And when we're thinking about these things in advance, I don't want you to think for 1 minute that we're locked into it, that this is the way it has to go. But at least if we have some kind of a basic flight plan, as my client Earl likes to call it, it will give us a guideline to follow, and we can certainly modify it along the way. The next thing that I want you to do, and this begins right as you complete that appointment. Now, whether that appointment's on the phone or if it's face-to-face, it's still going to be. You're still going to follow the same steps. So what I want you to do, the moment you complete any kind of a meeting with a prospect, I want you to start thinking about your follow-up cadence. And the reason why we do that, and feel free to say duh, is because it's all fresh. So I want you to make sure that you're allowing at least 15 to 30 minutes between your meetings or appointments, whatever you want to call them, discovery calls, to do this thing. Now, whenever I teach this to my coaching clients, when they're a new coaching client and I'm teaching them this, they usually come back at me with, hey, listen, I do this informally when I'm driving. And that's great. If you want to do this informally while you're driving, hey, great. But it needs to be above and beyond what I'm telling you to do. Not because I'm a control freak and I want to tell you what to do and feel like a trainer bossing everybody around. It's because we need to take that time when you're not driving so you could actually write things down and write down your action plan and write down the next 2 to 3 touches that you're going to have in this communication plan that we're going to formulate today. So again, if you want to think about this informally while you drive, go for it. But you need to also allow a good 15 to 30 minutes. So I want to do a quick timeout. There are things that I've done along the way. I've been selling a long time. It was, in fact, this summer, it will be 36 years that I've been in sales. Just in case anybody hasn't done the math, I got into sales right out of high school. So it's not like, oh, wow, Castain's been at it 36 years old, 36, and he must be about like 80 years old now. He just sounds so young. No, I've been doing this since I was 18 years old, right out of high school. And there are things that I've done along the way that I've made a real special note and I flagged certain activities because these are things that I changed in my process that made a huge difference for me and for my family and the results that I was able to get. And this is one of them. This is a change that I made about 20 years ago. What I found was I was in a very good situation, just so you guys know. In this one particular role that I had, my appointments were set for me. So all I did every single day was go to these appointments and bring them across the finish line. And I found that I was running so many appointments that I wasn't taking the time to really think them out properly and what had happened. I was racing to the next appointment. And the dangerous thing about this, folks, is that I was actually doing pretty well with it. Seriously, definitely not any kind of results that you could say, wow, he sucks. I was doing really, really well. At that point in time, I was ranked, I'm guessing, about 60th or 70th worldwide out of about 350, 375 sales reps. But when I really started to think about what are the little things that I could do, you remember we've been talking about on this podcast, the aggregation of marginal gains, they call it, these little tiny things that we could do that when we add them all up, just accounts for just such a huge difference. This was one of the things I started to do. So what I did was I made sure that the people that were making my appointments allowed an extra 15 to 30 minutes on top of any travel time to get to an appointment. And what I would do, I never hung out in the parking lot of where I was meeting somebody because I thought that was kind of weird, right? So kind of creepy. So what I did was I would leave that appointment, I'd hit a Starbucks, I'd hit a local park or whatever it is, and I would just think about that appointment for 15 to 30 minutes. Now, what did I think about and what kind of things should you be thinking about? Well, first of all, I start with the action items, my action items and their action items, because that can dictate a little bit of the follow-up and the communication and the cadence. I also think about things they expressed, especially things that they flagged as important. These are things that I'm going to need to pounce on going forward. These are things that I'm going to really need to reiterate and reinforce. I can't leave it to chance, and I can't leave it to, I can't assume that they're going to remember something because they have so much going on in their world. We're living in that world now where we can't rely on that. I think about things that really resonated with them. I also think back on the meeting to anything that I could have missed or forgot to ask, forgot to talk about. And I ask a question throughout every single step of the sales cycle. And this is one of those items that you have to write it down. I want you to circle it. I want you to put arrows, little notes to self saying, over here, look at this important shit right here. What I do is I ask myself the question, what am I missing? And I ask the question in a very, very suspicious type of manner, almost like I'm a detective and my street smarts are kicking in. There's something here that I'm missing. What am I missing? Something doesn't feel right here. I found that when I look at my appointments that way, and I've been doing this for decades, I always find something, and it might seem small and if it or irrelevant, but I put it in my back pocket. It could be something that I might use going forward or whatever, but I don't want to miss things, and I want to think it out while it's fresh on the brain. And again, I repeat this throughout the entire sales cycle. So the next step, and this isn't a complicated process that we're talking about today, I think of my first three moves, if you want to call them touches, the first three touches and the objectives for that. It's very, very important that we lead from a place of the objective and then get into the communication, because otherwise we're just calling to follow up. We're calling to check in. We're calling to touch base. So I want to think about what the objective is. Now, the knee-jerk reaction to what's the objective, many of you are probably thinking right about now, probably talking to yourself in the damn car, looking like a nut job. You're probably saying, well, the objective is to make the sale. Well, no shit. Of course it's to make the sale. But You have to back up a little bit. I mean, you don't think you're going to make the sale 3 minutes later, right? I hope you don't think that way. Most of us don't live in that world with the type of selling cycle that we have. So you have to think about this courtship and what each date is going to look like and the objective. So I want to give you a few sample objectives to get you thinking. One objective that I have, and you should have too, is to express gratitude to them for considering me or taking the time to meet with me or whatever. And I'm not going to go really deep into this because it would be a really bad rant, but there are some people of the belief that somehow you lose leverage when you thank people, that they should be thanking you. And I just think that's an awful perspective. It's very rare that you'll hear me on this podcast saying that that is just an idiotic perspective, but that is an idiotic perspective. It never, ever will hurt you in sales to demonstrate a little humility. And also, too, I would go as far as to say that it's disarming. And when you can get the other person to lower their guard, you could actually embrace them in a real dialogue. And that's what I want to do. I want to get you to lower your guard. Not so I can then throw the left hook and knock you out, but so I can actually get you to stop suspecting and get you to stop being critical or being cautious so that now the real conversation can begin. So one of the objectives is to express that gratitude and to say thank you. Another objective is to educate. It could be to educate them on your widget. It could be, and I love doing this, and I think it's something more sales reps should do, educating people on how to buy your widget properly. A lot of people don't know how to buy it properly. They think that they go out and they get three bids and the lowest price wins. You guys know that many times people make the wrong decision based on the wrong criteria. Some of them hire consultants to put together a bid, and they have them just putting things in there that if when you question them, I don't know, the consultant told me to do it. So sometimes people are looking for things that are not necessarily the right things. Again, we're not demeaning your prospect. I'm not demeaning my prospect, but I'm saying that sometimes people make the wrong decision and they need to be educated along the way. And also too, when we educate people, it changes your role with them. We don't want to be seen as a sales rep. I don't think there's anything wrong, by the way, with selling something or being seen as a sales rep, but usually you'll hear people make statements. You want to be seen as a consultant. You want to be seen as a true advisor, a trusted advisor. We'll all nod our heads to that. But if we really peel it back and we say to people, okay, how do you become viewed as a consultant or a trusted advisor? Everybody just looks at their phone and checks out because nobody knows the answer to that. Or even how do you bring value? There's another one that like people beat the hell out of. So these are all ways you can do it, educating them. Something that I alluded to before, and I want to bring it up again, my objective might be to emphasize something. It might be to reiterate something. Why? Because I can't depend on any human being getting something the first time anymore. It's not that we've become a stupid society or anything like that. What it is, it's we have more distractions than ever before. We have more things going on than ever before. The attention span of the human race is lower than ever before. So I can't count on saying something once and it registers. So what I want to do is I want to leverage repetition without being repetitive or repetitious. So that's going to be important. The other objective that I might have, and we mentioned it before, because I think it's one of those words and phrases that gets beaten to death in sales. The objective really should be in there somewhere to provide value. Now, this is the only one where I'm going to give you a few for instances, only because I don't want to be that guy that drops the cute little word and doesn't tell you what the hell to do with it. We got to stop that. We have to talk about what value means. I mean, obviously, value is a very subjective type of word because what I might find valuable you might not find valuable. So it's very, very important that when you meet with people, you find out what's valuable to them. And this is where your discovery and your needs analysis is going to come in handy. And let me give you three very quick ideas, because I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent on this value thing. But it might be a resource that I send you that would be very helpful. It might be an intro to someone that might be very helpful to you. It might be an invite to an industry event, a local event, maybe a group or an association or something that might be very valuable to you. Part of my objective might be to reduce hesitation, doubt, objections from you, maybe reduce risk or perceived risk, better yet. My objective could be to keep the deal moving forward by reminding all the stakeholders involved of the action items necessary to keep that deal moving forward. That was a mouthful, right? Here's one. Here's a good one, by the way. My objective might be to simply bond with them. And what I mean by that is that we always talk about rapport and developing rapport and chit-chatting and icebreakers. And sometimes in the conversation, we find out about mutual interests or certainly something that's important to someone. So let me give you some examples of like a personal type of follow-up that I might do to bond with the objective of bonding with the recipient. I met with somebody a while ago. And we just started talking about, this person was a brand new dad. And we were just talking about being a dad and how cool it is. And he was talking about growing up. And I was talking about my dad, who was like the most awesome dad in the world. And afterwards, one of the things I sent him was a resource. And this is one for the dads out there. I think it's pretty cool. I'm pretty sure they're still out there. It's called All Pro Dad. All Pro Dad. And I had subscribed years ago to their newsletter, and they would tell you all these really cool things that you could do with your kids to bond with them, and gives you lots and lots of ideas. So that's something that I did. To this day, I run into people who, like me, like to cook. So I'll send them along a recipe. I was talking to this woman from Germany, and she was telling me about this dish that I actually cook, and it's called, and I'm probably going to mispronounce, called Schweinebraten, which is pork roast. And I make that for my family. And my sister-in-law happens to be German, and I talked to her about this dish years ago. I was telling her how I was making it. She was giving me some tips. I have several clients who are from Germany. They were giving me some tips. And you know, like anything else, it's trial and error, and you pull ideas from this person that you like and this recipe that you like, and you make notes to self. I really feel like I've perfected it along the way. So I met this person who's her family was from Germany. And we were talking about this, and she really wanted to see the recipe that I had, and she liked the ideas that I had. So I sent that along to her. But you guys get the idea. Oh, wait a minute. You actually don't get the ideas, because I have to say this. This is timely and really important. How about now, like, with Game of Thrones is going to be coming up real soon. So I talk to people all the time that are into that show. And I was talking with someone the other day, and I mentioned to them that, I don't know if you knew this or not, but they supposedly were given the green light on a prequel to Game of Thrones. And it's actually, I thought it was going to be focused on the whole Robert's Rebellion thing, but they're actually, this prequel is going to take place, I think, 1,000 or 2,000 years in the past. So it's a very interesting premise. So I sent that along to someone. But things like that, where you can bond with common interests. The last few things that I'll mention is my objective also could be bringing clarity to something, or maybe clarifying something that I need clarification on through the form of a question. So what I do with all the stuff that I just mentioned to you, and there's more to it, but I just wanted to get you thinking. What I do is, from that, I look at, okay, what are my first three moves going to look like, and how much time in between? What are those first three moves I want to think out at least three moves. In the example that I'm going to give you in a few minutes, I'm actually going to take you six moves into the future. But I want to think of at least my first three moves right there while it's fresh. Right as soon as I get off that phone call or right as I leave that parking lot, I'm going to pull over somewhere where it's safe. And I'm going to think this through while I can think about everything from that fresh perspective. The next thing that I'm going to do now is I'm going to think about the vehicle. I always call it the vehicle. Now, the meaning of the vehicle is how are you going to get that message, the delivery mechanism, to get it to the recipient? Am I going to do phone? Am I going to do email? Now, before I go on, and I do have several examples, I just want to flag something. Phone and email are great, and I don't want to get rid of them from the cadence. But I'm also here to tell you that the average person relies exclusively on phone and email, and they forget about the other things I'm going to mention. So I want you to be mindful of that. A good way for you to stand out, a good way for you to remain top of mind, is to complement phone and email with other vehicles, other venues, if you will. So here are some examples. We said phone, we said email. It could be text message. I know that's a sensitive thing. I'm not a fan of it, but it doesn't mean that the other person isn't a fan of text messages. I sell to a lot of millennials, and I find that they enjoy a text message. So that might be something that I use as a vehicle. LinkedIn, snail mail, FedEx, a drop-off, drop-in, a video, something creative. I might do something through a third party, perhaps a mutual contact, perhaps a client that could give me a testimonial. Those are some things that I might do. Let me run through that again quickly. Phone, email, text message, LinkedIn, snail mail, FedEx, drop-off, drop-in, video, something creative, third party, mutual contact, or perhaps through a client and a testimonial. So let's talk about what this looks like so far. Let me give you an example. And this is in no particular order. You could do it any way you want. Your mileage will vary. I want you to take this and actually make it your own, because this is just my example. Perhaps touch number one might be an immediate thank you note or a card. Going to do it right away. And the reason why we're going to do it right away is because here in the U.S., I'm going to send it out through snail mail, by the way. It's going to take about 2 to 3 days. So we want to get that happening right away. So this way, right in the background while we're doing other things, this is doing some work for us. The objective here, and we can say duh to this, but the objective here is gratitude. It's expressing that gratitude, standing out. And once again, the vehicle is snail mail. Nobody does it, by the way. So quick side note, I can tell you stories of how I had this one client, and she actually called me up one time and said, she would always call me and thank me for my thank you cards, which I thought was kind of cool, thanking me for a thank you. And she called me up one time and she said, thank you for your thank you card, your thank you note, but you must have been in a hurry because you didn't sign it. And I was thinking, okay, and I even said to her, how did you know it was from me? Is my handwriting that bad? I wasn't sending a branded card in those days. It was just a card that I picked up that I thought might be funny or whatever. And she said, well, I knew it was you. It wasn't even a handwriting thing or anything like that. You're the only person that I buy from that actually thanks me. And that story goes back 25 years ago, and I believe it's gotten worse since then. So something to think about. Touch number two, within 24 hours of the meeting, I will email a recap. So the vehicle there obviously is email. And the objective here is, well, there's a lot. I want to show them that I was listening. Doesn't everyone have a story and want to be heard? It's a noisy world. Not everyone feels like they're being heard. Many times when people are entertaining a change, it's because they feel that the person selling to them doesn't listen properly, isn't understanding of their needs. So we want to show them that we are. I want to demonstrate my professionalism. There are some psychological objectives to sending a recap. And very quickly, I'll tell you what one of them is. I use the exact words and phrases of my prospect in a recap. Why? Because when we do that, first of all, it's a mirroring technique, which is powerful. But more importantly than that, if I can trigger the emotions that they had when they were telling me they were fed up with that other coach or that other trainer or that other keynote speaker, then I can get, if I get them back to that emotional state that they were in when they were entertaining that change, that's a powerful thing, because now they're going to keep moving forward. Sometimes people, they'll say something and they move on. We want to get them back to that state that they were in when they're like, enough, I got to make a change. This isn't going anywhere fast. We're losing money. We're losing opportunity. You guys get the deal. So that's one of the psychological objectives. But also, too, how about the objective of keeping everyone on point and tightening the leash a little bit and keeping some control on the deal? Touch number three, within a few days, I might call or email them with an action item that we agreed upon in the meeting. The objective here is demonstrating that when we give our word, you could take it to the bank. Also, showing that you keep your commitments. And also, it keeps the deal moving forward. Very, very important. Let's keep moving here. I did three touches here, but I'm going to give you a 4, 5, and 6 just to get you thinking. Touch number 4, a few days later after touch number 3, I'm going to send a LinkedIn invitation. Why? What's the objective here? Well, part of it is to demonstrate my expertise. Well, how the hell do I demonstrate my expertise through LinkedIn? Well, I want you to think about my profile and your profile on LinkedIn. It's your online resume. It shows your expertise. It shows the amount of experience that you have. That's one thing. If you post content like I do, well then, once again, you're demonstrating your expertise. But even more important than those other two things, it allows you to monitor them, and you could demonstrate, not really demonstrate, you could embrace a concept called social listening, and you can listen for clues. You could watch their updates, and you can leverage that type of information. So, I left out something. When you hear what I just left out, and if you've been listening to me for a while, you're going to say, oh my goodness, how could Castaing drop the ball like this? I also believe that the more places where we can bump into people, the greater the probability of establishing, you ready? My favorite word, propinquity, that nearness, that closeness, that kinship. I also believe that a lot of decisions now are being made. One of the things that people are doing is they want the ability to watch you safely and anonymously from afar. So connecting with someone on LinkedIn gives them a chance to watch you, how you behave, what you have to say, the quality of your message, and again, establishing that value that we talked about before. The next thing that I might do, touch number 5, send an informative video. Send an informative video to them. And some ideas for an informative video, and it can be brief. It could be as little as 1 minute. It could be 3 or 4 minutes. You want to keep it on the brief side, because somebody looks at how long something is and it looks like it's going to be like 15 minutes. Nobody has time for that. So what are some ideas behind an informative video? I might take them, or you could take them, behind the scenes and take a tour of your facility. Introduce them to the people who are going to be working on these projects behind the scenes. Introduce them to the people in service or customer care. You could even demonstrate that 17-ton piece of machinery you couldn't bring on the appointment with you that you just had. That could be something important. But that's something that, when you think about it, I don't think that people are going to say, hey, that's great, put it in the pile of all the other follow-up videos that I've received. Now, one little hint that you could do here, because we mentioned before, think about the vehicle. And one of the things that I mentioned, I think I did, and if I didn't, I'm going to mention it now, is you want to use creativity in there. So what if you took that video, you burned it to DVD, you went to the dollar store and got one of those plastic tubs of popcorn. While you're there, you picked up some microwave popcorn, some candy. You threw it all in there, and you either dropped it off, wrapped it up all nice and pretty, or you sent it out through FedEx or UPS or whatever. Again, I don't think they're going to say, hey, that was a noble effort. Put it in the pile of all the other videos and popcorn and candy that I've received. Touch number six. It could be that personal bonding type of follow-up that we talked about. Could be a recipe, could be an article, that type of thing or whatever. So, I mean, there it is, folks. There you have it. There's a lot more to this. I don't want you to think that we're done with this or whatever, but I'm thinking this is enough to keep you out of trouble till at least next week when we do the next podcast. But if you'd like to learn more about this, come join us on April 4th, right on your computer screen, by the way, from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. for a webinar that I'm going to be doing on this. The only thing that I want to say before I give you the link, if you've been following me for a while, you'll know that I made an announcement at, I think it was the end of last year, certainly the beginning of this year, 2019, and I said I wasn't going to be doing as many webinars as I have in the past. In the past, I did one every 2 weeks. This particular webinar that I'm doing is going to be number two of a total of four that I will do in 2019. So if you're thinking, oh, well, he'll offer it again in the future, unfortunately, I won't be. So I'm only going to do four this year. This is the second one that I'm offering this year. I'm not going to be doing a lot of webinars this year. So if you'd like to get in on the premium content, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/follow-up. I had to think about that for a minute. I was like, oh my gosh, man, I kind of forgot the link that I worked so hard to create. yoursalesplaybook.com/follow-up, and follow-up is all lowercase letters, no spaces, no hyphens or anything like that. yoursalesplaybook.com/follow-up, and with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.